Thunderbirds were the headline act of the Chicago show, but they did not perform Sunday. Gasoline prices have hit a new record high. The latest government statistics show the national average for regular increased 6 cents in the last week. It's now $2.61 a gallon, 73 cents a gallon more than a year ago. Dennis Martin reporting, USA Radio Network News. Okay, everybody, it's time for another game of Who Wants to Volunteer in Your Community? Let's go to Ella in Santa Monica, California.
Hey, wait, I don't want to volunteer.
Well, I have a feeling you'll change your mind when you realize how much fun volunteering really can be.
But
in fact, Ella, we've asked your entire algebra class here to tell you more.
Wait, you did what?
Take it away, class.
Hey, Ella, we've been noticing you lately in algebra class.
You have?
I'm feeling some love here.
Yeah, and we were thinking that you should start tutoring people because you're all, like, smart and stuff.
I should?
You free tonight?
Go for it!
I should.
They love you, Ella! Well, sounds like we have another happy volunteer.
That's me.
To find out ways you can volunteer in your community, log on to teensvolunteer.org and join us next time for another episode of Who Wants to Volunteer in Your Community? Do what you like to do. Volunteer. A public service message brought to you by the USA Freedom Corps, the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition of America, and the Ad Council.
Thank you for listening to the TalkStar Radio Network. For the finest and informative and interactive talk radio programming, it's the TalkStar Radio Network, available live via your local radio station and on the Internet at TalkStarRadio.com. Your feedback is important to us. Email us at TalkStarRadio.com.
And now, from Washington, the inside scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the inside scoop, Mark Levine.
Good evening, America. Welcome to the inside scoop. It's good to be back during the week, giving you all the news the government does not want you to know, and discussing events not just in Washington, which is pretty dead with congressional recess, but around the world. And something particularly dramatic, of course, has just happened in the Middle East. No, not in Iraq. Not in Afghanistan, but in the land of Israel, where a democratic Jewish state, using Jewish soldiers, evacuated all Jews from all Israeli settlements in the Gaza Strip. The Gaza Strip has now been rendered free of Jews, and the Palestinians can now live there, and hopefully, at least hopefully in my mind, hopefully develop a peaceful state that can be used later on to expand to the West Bank as well. I want to talk about this, though, because there's a lot of things that I find very interesting. I do find it extraordinary. There was virtually no violence that the on either side, either by Jewish settlers or by Palestinians attacking soldiers that were getting rid of the Jewish settlers there. Sure, there was anger. Absolutely, there were tears. But as the bulldozers bulldozed the Jewish settlements, no one lay in front of them. No one tried to stop them. People understood that in a democracy, which Israel is, that rule of the people, the majority of the people, matters. And the minority in Israel that wanted to continue those settlements was overruled. And to me, the great question now is what happens? Does this lead to peace or does this lead to more war? As far as I'm concerned, it's up to the Palestinians to decide that future. And to discuss the Palestinian perspective, I'm very honored to invite a guest. Her name is Reem Anouari. She is with the Vancouver Palestinian Community Center, and she's also a representative of the Palestine Right to Return Coalition. Ms. Anouari, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Thank you. Welcome to you.
Let me ask you this, just to get an idea of who you are and where you come from. I assume you're from the West Bank or Gaza?
I'm from Gaza.
You're from Gaza.
And my other half is from the city of Jaffa.
From the city of Jaffa in what is now Israel. And you've lived in Canada, I guess, a number of years.
Yes.
And you've been an activist for Palestinian causes.
Actually, you're almost born with it. So
okay.
You have to fight for it almost from a very young age. And I lived in the Arab world when I was a child, and then I came to the States, and then after that I was in Canada. And I was here basically at the time of the first uprising
Mm-hmm. The Intifada.
The first Intifada, and it's amazing that the same things that we were demanding then are we're still demanding now.
Well, let me ask you. I mean, you must be satisfied, at least, by the withdrawal today. There's not a single Jewish settler left in Gaza. I'm not saying that answers all Palestinian concerns by any stretch, but this is clearly a positive sign, is it not?
It's actually, you know what, for it depends where you're standing on this whole formula, of course. For a Palestinian who owns a little land that they have not been able to access, for the people who have been living there and have not been able to move between south and middle and north of Gaza, if you're a patient who hasn't been able to access hospitals for 5 years, 6 years now, yes, that all matters to you. But when we're speaking about, for example, that the economic occupation is still continuing, the fact it's a big prison actually at this point. That's how the Palestinians feel. You're unable to move. The entry points to Gaza, entry and exit points, are still controlled by the Israelis and will continue to be controlled. The economic aspect of it, Oslo Agreement. Continues to be in effect. So things like that, you are unable to export anything unless it's through an Israeli company.
My understanding, Ms. Anuwari, correct me if I'm wrong, is that in the next month, Israel is going to remove the restrictions on the seaports and the border to Egypt. They'll keep the restrictions to Israel. So that would allay some of these economic concerns, would it not?
Not necessarily, because, you know, they're still under the Israeli control. They have anything that's coming in and out of the any of these borders has to be accepted by Israel. And it's actually, if you read the disengagement plan, it states that exactly. That we will be in control of all of the entry points, the sea, what comes through the sea, what leaves through the sea, what comes through the all the entry points, basically the land, air, that they want to have control over it. And that's what happened in Oslo times, actually. You know, that was one of the conditions, some of the reasons why this uprising has happened are still there now.
Well, let me ask you this.
With the disengagement plan.
Let me ask you this, and a lot of this is based on today's New York Times, which I read, which said today that Israel within a month would be removing restrictions on the sea into Egypt. But I guess my question for you, and we may have to wait till a break, so I apologize if I interrupt you.
That's all right.
But my question for you after the break is, do you think that it was peace, if you will, it was laying down arms, it was some of the nicer things that Mahmoud Abbas has said that brought this development, or do you think it was attacks, whether it attacks on Israeli military or even attacks on Israeli civilians? Is that what brought this about? Because I'm curious to know, in terms of what brought this about, whether that's sort of something that you foresee for the future. So if you can hold on to answer that question until we get back from break. I also want to invite my listeners to call in and ask any question you like of Ms. Anuwari or me, or make your own comments. You're always free to do so. The toll-free number is 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. You can also comment on the blog at radioinsidescoop.com. We'll be right back after this.
I'm sure you've heard the saying, when you get to the end of your rope, tie a knot in it and hang on. Margie Garrison was at the end of her rope. At the young age of 28, she was told she would be in a wheelchair in about 5 years. And then, when she just couldn't go on any longer, she met a doctor who said to her, "Margie, arthritis is the easiest disease there is to cure." Now, can you imagine Margie's joy after 43 years and thousands of dollars of doctor bills and pain medications that didn't work? Learn the whole story online at healthstarproducts.com. That's H-E-A-L-T-H, healthstarproducts.com. It's guaranteed or your money back, and you have a full year to decide. Look it up online for yourself at HealthStar, H-E-A-L-T-H, HealthStarProducts.com, and find out if what worked for Margie Garrison will work for you. They're always talking about the number of people without health insurance, but what about those without dental coverage? If you're self-employed, retired, or your employer just doesn't provide dental insurance, there is an $11.95 a month solution that saves you up to 30%, 50%, and even 60% on dental services. And because this isn't insurance, there are no turndowns, no claim forms, no waiting periods, no runaround.
and this nationwide program covers cleaning, restorations, and cosmetic dentistry. Get the whole story online. You don't have to talk to anyone if you don't want to. There's even a form to email to get a list of all the providers in your area. Go to www.1195dental.com. You type in the numbers 1195 followed by the word dental, D-E-N-T-A-L.com. 1195dental.com is here to help. And check out our low prices for family memberships.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. We're talking about the Israeli withdrawal from Gaza with my guest. Her name is Reem Anouari. She's with the Vancouver Palestine Community Center, and she's a representative of the Palestine Right to Return Coalition. If you want to call in and ask a question, you're always welcome to do so. The toll-free number is 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255, or you can comment on the blog at radioinsidescoop.com. Ms. Anouari, I was asking you before the break, what do you think brought this to happen? What do you think brought the Israeli withdrawal from Gaza? Was it the more peaceful aspects of Mahmoud Abbas along with the death of Yasser Arafat? Was it attacks on Jewish children at Passover seders and discos? Was it attacks on the Israeli military? What brought us here? And if you will, what do you think is the future after the Israeli withdrawal from Gaza?
In terms of, I will quote Sharon, which I don't like to do actually usually, but in his own words, he said that we've reached an agreement with the Americans.
So it was the Americans. It was none of the above. It was American pressure.
Above. Yeah, it was. This whole withdrawal, we believe that it was. It's pouring directly in the interest of the Israeli government. First of all, they are trying to get rid of the high cost of occupying Gaza. And it's not the settlements there were more than they were army bases too, so that's a very high cost. So you have now a situation where the soldiers are surrounding Gaza, and you're controlled by all your entry points are controlled by the Israelis without having to lose like in terms of humans cost, material cost, etc. within Gaza. There's also a price for this that Sharon is looking for. He's going to be here in September 13th in New York, and he's going. There are attempts to say that Gaza is no longer under occupation, even though your air, water, land, like your borders, are surrounded, and economically you're still occupied. So they're trying to get rid of that term, and that is also part of the quoting directly out of the disengagement plan. Abu Mazen, from his side, he is trying to state that it's part of the Palestinian diplomacy of the PA, but when people are looking at it, they're seeing that Oslo did not achieve any of this.
Well, let me ask you this.
From 1993 until now,
yeah.
In the meantime, you know, it was Sharon stated it's the high cost of the confronting the Palestinian resistance in Gaza that is bringing us out of there, and this is directly from interviews with him in the past 2 weeks.
Well, here's the thing I think Americans have a difficulty understanding. Of course, Oslo did require and did cause Israel to gradually leave larger and larger swaths of Palestinian territory in the Gaza and the West Bank. And then, of course, came the famous, or I guess to some infamous, Camp David Accords, where Bill Clinton came very, very close, it seems, to making an agreement where Israel would withdraw from more than 95% of the West Bank and Gaza. Some say 98%, some say only 90%, but clearly more than 90%.
That's the 42% to be exact.
Well, I've seen the maps put out by the Orient House, which of course is the Palestine Authority of the PA, and they showed a map that showed more than 92%. So I'm not sure where you get 42%, given that, you know, the Palestinian Authority has said it's more than 90%.
There is a lot of documentation. I can refer you to this documentation directly from the Y River and the Camp David agreements, the drafts for these agreements, where it's actually 42% of West Bank, because they're still keeping all the major settlements blocks, all the roads that are supposed to be settler-only roads and army-only roads, which cuts West Bank into pieces. And that was, and they're calling it, of course, all the security zones around all the settlements.
I'll tell you something, Ms. Alnoueri, seriously.
More than 50, yep.
I would love if you could post on my blog after the show, radioinsidescoop.com, the maps that you have, because the maps I've seen come from Orient House, and they're not current-day maps. They're maps dating back to the time, which was the end of 2000, the beginning of 2001, and they show a contiguous entity in the West Bank and more than 90% of the territory, and again, it's them. So I would just be curious about that. But it just seems to me that I guess the reason I'm asking all of this, and I have a bunch of callers, and I want to get them on too, so hang on, callers. But it seems to me that it seems to me that my hope for the future is that if there is peace in Gaza, if there are no more attacks, mortar attacks from Gaza into Israel proper, if there are no more, you know, terrorist attacks coming, suicide bombers coming out and attacking, you know, discotheques or Passover service or anything like that, then I will be the first one to get out there and say, okay, Israel, the Palestinians have shown they can keep Gaza peaceful. It's now time to withdraw from large parts of the West Bank. But if there continue to be mortar attacks that attack Israeli civilians from Gaza, then I have to tell you, Palestinians have shown they can keep Gaza peaceful. It's now time to withdraw from large parts of the West Bank. But if there continue to be mortar attacks that attack Israeli civilians from Gaza, then I have to tell you what I will do as a radio talk show host is I will say, look, the Palestinians have shown they can't keep Gaza peaceful, and therefore I don't think Israel should withdraw from large swaths of the West Bank. I know you want to respond to me. I want to go to a break.
You've got so and so and so. So you're and trying to separate people, it doesn't work because we have extension families everywhere. Like as somebody from Gaza, I have family in Jaffa, I have family in West Bank, I have Bedouin families who are relatives of mine, and they're all affected by this. So I cannot be.
Yes.
How about the Israeli? There is look at what's going on in, for Palestinians with Israeli citizenship. The apartheid treatment against them is unbelievable. They have laws that basically reduces them to list on animals and assists them to list on animals in Israel.
Well, I think that's that. Well, no, that's a little extreme. Ms. Alnoueri, the Israeli Arabs, I know you know this, they have the right to vote. They have representatives in the Knesset.
Because it's Israel that's deciding what's going
on. Ms. Alnoueri, I'm not telling you anything new.
They are the most affected by this corruption because it's ignoring them completely out of all what's going on as refugees outside Palestine. We're disconnected with Oslo times.
Gaza and the West Bank and the Arabs in Israel, that they should have a vote to determine who the Palestinian leadership is?
Not only that, they have to be able to decide.
I mean, I respect you were born in Gaza, but you've been away quite a long time. Why should you have a vote, whereas a person in Gaza would have a lesser vote? You know, because
The Palestinian people's future.
Has arrested a Syrian man accused of taking part in Friday's rocket attack on U.S. warships. The couple accused of killing a corrections officer and then leading authorities in a three-state manhunt has been returned to terror at 12:22. More news at usaradio.com.
Mr. and Mrs. Dunlop, the principal will see you now.
I just wanted to talk about that.
It's going to be effective against coughs, and that ingredient is
population.
The great majority.
But at the same time, the indigenous population in the U.S. and in Canada, they don't have sovereignty. They don't have a choice. They've been impoverished. They've been targeted as a community. There are a lot of discrimination against them, and it's no different. There's an apartheid treatment against them, very similar to what's going on to Palestinians with Israeli citizenship.
Well, we have to take
moving slowly into that model within the 1948 occupied areas.
I'll tell you, we have to take another break. Ms. Alnoueri, I agree with you that the Native Americans have been sorely mistreated in the United States and Canada, but I wouldn't go so far as to say that the 98% of us that come from Europe or Africa have to go home and leave the land back to the Native Americans.